Welcome to One Moment Wiser. I'm your host, Christy Bridges, and my guests share personal stories and wisdom to help you understand yourself better, improve your relationships, and connect with your creator. Let's get started. So that five love languages, you were talking about that. And for people who've never heard of this, it's a concept. What are the five love languages?
Gift giving, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, and quality time.
Right. And sometimes you can't just know, for example, if you looked at someone who gives a lot of things, who's financially generous or, you know, things like that, you can't always assume that gift giving is the way they're going to receive love. Am I right here? Because I really think that's, you kind of have to get to know someone to find out and maybe even ask, right?
Yeah. Something I do with my couples that I think is, it's new. I've just started doing it because I've just found it. Mm-hmm. But it's a 25-minute marriage makeover. And I found it online. It was a free PDF. But I've started doing it. And the reason I like it is because it lists the six most valuable things to you. And it makes you define it. And what I have found in my couples is like, they all want the same things, but they define it a bit different. So respect looks different for a man than it does a woman.
Yeah.
Parenting looks different for a man than it does a woman. You know, those kinds of things. And it really kind of defines the relationship and it like, why is this important to you? And what does it mean? And like, a big one for women is they want physical touch, but they need it to be without sex. Not that sex is not important, not that they don't want sex. And it's not about not wanting sex, but like they want to cuddle on the couch without the expectation of having sex.
I could see that. Right. I think there are men like that too.
I'm not saying it's all women, but I have found that, especially mothers, I'm going to say specifically when you're in your probably 20s or 30s and you're raising.
When you're in that part of life where somebody's always grabbing on you. Yep.
Yeah.
And always wanting from you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there, you know, I think there are some men like that too. So when we say, you know, women do this or men, you know,
yeah.
Just keep in mind, there's a little bit of both, right?
And it can always go, you know, both ways.
Yeah.
But it's really important. And that's what I've seen in a lot of my couples who have like 7, 8, 9-year-old kids and toddlers. I'll say 9 and below.
Yeah.
I've found that that's very important for them is to understand, you know, acts of service, wanting, helping out around the house, making their life a little easier, and then being able to have physical touch without the expectation of sex because they're drained. That's what I've seen in my couples. They're drained.
At different stages in our lives, we actually need, not necessarily different ages, but just different things that we're going through, right? Look for ways to balance out what's going on in your mate's life. For example, if you do have, you know, you're corralling 5 kids and trying to work and whatever, then yeah, you need someone to help you get the laundry put away, right? So it doesn't have to be washed again at the end of the week because it's, you know, all over the floor. If you're in a stage where, you know, your person's a little isolated maybe, or everybody they talk to is business related, well, they need someone to flirt with. I know personally, one of my favorite things about being married is I can say really crass things to somebody. You know, we can flirt and be silly in a way that I can't do with anybody else. Right.
Right.
And, if you have someone who's, constantly being tugged on, or or maybe they're kind of isolated. Well, they do need that physical affection once in a while, just a little squeeze or a hug. Gosh, a hug a day is like so good for your heart. We all need that,
That's to
right?
have
Even
a healthy
if you have
relationship,
someone,
to be healthy, completely healthy, you need 8 hugs a day. Eight,
eight
eight.
hugs a day. I love it. I like your questions thing though, because words of affirmation are super important to me, but also the getting to know you on a continuous basis, something that I really appreciate, because I think we get to know people a little bit, we find similarities, and then we stop asking questions. And my husband, he hates doing the quizzes and stuff, but it's Alzheimer's prevention, right? The more we have to express concepts, the longer our brains are going to stay active. If all we do is suck in information through, our phones and our TVs and our books and stuff, and we don't express it, then we if you don't use it, you lose it. So I think that app is a really neat idea to get to know each other better, but also keep each other's brains functioning right.
Yeah, they have a free version that's like a little limited, and then it's like $14.99 a month. And I'm not saying, I don't get anything from advertising. I've just recommended it because it's just helped us. And my daughter actually recommended it to me. So I started using it, and it really does open up conversation.
Now, did you, as you were kind of rebuilding, right, as God is restoring your relationship, did you ever, find yourselves going to a counselor or to another couple or some other like outside influence?
I do recommend that. We did try it, end up with the right counselor. Just wasn't, I mean, she basically said, you do realize that most marriages end in divorce after dealing with alcoholism. And I'm like, I would never say that because I'm a therapist. I'm a little, I guess you could say mental, but I was like, I would never say that to a client ever, ever. Because he had been seeing her individually, and then he brought me in for some couples counseling, so we was gonna try that. And I was just appalled at the, maybe that is reality, maybe that is a real statistic. That's not what I wanted to hear.
Well, it's, there are so many traumas that a marriage can experience that could cause divorce, right? The
No.
trauma of losing a child, the trauma of an affair, the trauma of addiction,
Yeah.
just the trauma of depression or, different mental health or physical things. There are things
Absolutely.
that can break us, but they don't have to.
No.
If we choose to allow God to do his thing. But let's speak to that for a second, because I know that my husband and I, the first time we split up, I felt so free. And but at the same time, I really loved him, right? So I felt like I could do this would be okay, but I really loved him. And then there came a time when I noticed some, in somebody else's life where they had ended up after a divorce. And I didn't want that to happen to my husband or myself. And so we got back together, but it was too soon. We hadn't had the counseling that we needed. We hadn't had, we hadn't dealt with some of the issues that I didn't even realize how deep they were. And so for the next couple of years, I think we were each a little bit, he started giving himself to me more, but I started, I continuously struggled with this maybe we shouldn't be together thing. And I for the next few years, I struggled with that and noticed all the things that were wrong and had my attention on all the things that were wrong, and had my guard up. Like, if we're going to fall apart anyway, then I'm going to be okay, you know? And so I didn't, when we got back together that first time, I did not, it wasn't a let's make it kind of thing. It was, there were so many, I had this protective field up that ended up, you know, a couple of years later, when we split up again, I was just done. And it was very painful for him, and it wasn't, I was not being the person that I would like to see myself being. I was definitely not being the Christy I want to be during that time. And I think it's because when we got back together, A, we didn't have the right counseling, but B, I didn't say, okay, Lord, if you're going to fix this, I'm going to let you completely fix this, and I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that after a trauma. They kind of say, well, we're going to work it out, but just in case, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to stand back here. Right.
Right. Well, a lot of it is unforgiveness. It's, they're still holding on to the hurt and the pain and what you put me through, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the forgiveness is so important, not just for the person that you're trying to forgive, but for yourself.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, because even if you end up, like, if it's an abusive situation and it's really safer for you not to be in the marriage.
Right.
And you end up divorcing, you still have to forgive.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is such a thing. It's so important because it stops defining who you are.
Yes.
And it becomes something that you went through. Something bad that happened to you.
Yeah.
Not defining who you are.
And when we're hurt, even if we deny it, what mm-hmm. we're, what inside of us is thinking is, I was rejected because I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. Or I was hurt because I'm not strong enough. Or there's always a root there about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even back to like when we first dealt with the addiction or the whatever, it was all, if he loved me, he wouldn't do this, right? We are essentially self-focused, and that's part of our survival instinct, but it's makes some inaccurate interpretations,
right?
So please go ahead with forgiveness. How do you, and that could be a whole other discussion, but with there's so much pain sometimes or so much fear, mm-hmm. They're going to do it again. How do you get past that enough to really forgive?
Well, it's like I said, it's you needing a heart change.
Yeah.
You needing to change your heart about how you see the situation. You have to take yourself and you have to put yourself in the other person's situation. And sometimes that's really hard because, like, I don't know how you get there.
Right.
Because, like, with addiction or alcoholism, I couldn't fathom how you got there. Because for me, I just never would. Right. Like, I want to stop drinking. I can stop drinking. If I have two, if I have three, if I have one, it's not a big deal for me. But it was a big deal for him, and I couldn't understand that.
Yeah.
So I really had to lean in and ask God how I'm supposed to give me the strength to be able to forgive.
Yeah.
And there's five steps. There's not. There's three steps. Four steps to forgiveness that are extremely important.
Three, four, five. Sometimes it feels eternal.
I was getting my grief process and my forgiveness process.
I'm just teasing. I know, but sometimes it feels like two steps forward, five steps back.
Yeah. But first, it's about owning your truth. you have to truly admit to yourself, if no one else, because the other person really doesn't even have to be involved in order to forgive. Now, in a marriage, yes, you need to probably do so, unless you're separating for safety reasons. But usually it involves the other person. But you don't have to. You can do all this on your own. Just sit down and write them a letter. Tell them how you feel. Get it all out. Put it all out there. That helps you sort your emotions and let you know exactly how you feel and what you've been struggling with for the last 12 years, 10 years, 5 years, whatever. And it gets it all out there. Then you have to go back and tell yourself the words you needed to hear. Tell yourself that it's okay that you're mad that he's drinking. Tell yourself that it's okay that you don't want to put up with that. Tell yourself that, you were being selfish in this situation. You got to be honest. You got to be able to look at it with honest eyes. So you got kind of go back and you talk to yourself and you become the words that you needed to hear. I loves you and you should have been loved and respected in that situation. You should have been treated with kindness, da 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 da. And then you go through the forgiveness steps. So the first is own your truth. That's the first step of forgiveness. The second is really decide if you want to forgive or not, because forgiveness is a process. So when you're having to forgive, you gotta think about, do I really want to forgive this person? What are the pros and cons of forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean to me? What does it actually mean? Because forgiveness is not necessarily repairing the relationship. It's changing how you see the situation. Because step three is, what was the person that offended you or that hurt you or that disappointed you? What were they going through? What was their experience during that time?
And in a marriage, you have to kind of ask that on an ongoing basis. What is their experience now as I'm going through this process? And am I willing to continue, to go all the way with this process? Because you don't want to be stuck halfway. That's not a pretty place to be at all. And it will, it does eventually die, along with, I think, kind of destroying a little part of us if we stop halfway.
And then the fourth thing, and sometimes this is the hardest, is what good or what was benefited out of this process.
My friend Connie says, where is the gift in this? Because there is a gift. God loves you. No matter what another human being can take from you, God wants to give you good. Nothing surprises him, nothing stunts his ability to do that. He wants to grow you in character. You're not a spoiled little kid, right? He wants to grow you to be the royal, adult daughter of, or son of God. But he's going to give back more than somebody else could have taken.
Not
So
that
yeah,
it was
where
his
yeah.
will for you to go through it. Not necessarily his will for you to go through it. Those were
Yeah.
made by choices.
Right.
But God takes all things,
Yeah.
no matter what, and turns it into our good. Because all things, bad things, good things, anything that happens to us, if we allow God to do it, he will turn it into our benefit.
And do
I
you
always
think we always know when the gift arrives? Do you think sometimes we miss the
Oh,
gift?
I'm pretty sure we do. We probably can look back on it and go, oh wow, because hindsight's 20/20. Look at all I learned from that. But when you're going through it, I don't think you know what you're learning.
Right. don't know. I think though, in a relationship where both people are the beneficiaries of that forgiveness, there is definitely a deeper appreciation, a love. Sometimes we take each other for granted when it's easy.
Right.
And things get a little bit hard sometimes, and we go in, you know, wrong directions. But when we realize what we almost lost, it can be pretty amazing. You had a verse that you mentioned that I love, and it's 1 Peter 5:10. The God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Guys, this is not about the other person. We are in relationships with other people, and God wants to show them his love and wants to grow them too. And he uses them to sharpen us. But it is ultimately about the one who was with us before we were born and will be with us after we are out of these bodies. And it's about that relationship. He promised to restore us. He has promised to make us strong, firm, and steadfast.
Yes. Absolutely. And that is, you know, to me, that is the greatest thing about being one of his children, is that even though we suffer, it's only for a little while.
Yeah.
And God will restore us.
Kelly, what are some questions? Because, you know, we've been talking from the point of hope, right? You have seen miracles because of God keeping you two together, right? Mm-hmm. Giving him a chance and seeing what he's done. I've seen such happiness in my own life because of the willingness. But if you're at the beginning of this, you don't know necessarily how it's going to turn out, right? Some marriages don't make it. And sometimes maybe they shouldn't, right? So can you tell me, if I were looking at my relationship and wondering if God wants to restore us, if, you know, if God wants me to keep putting up with this, some things that I should look for, some things that I should think about and pray about and be, you know, maybe pay attention to.
I think for me, it was just being really honest with God.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, one night, and I think it was before I got the book, or it might have been after. I think it was before I got the book. But I was in the bathroom again, in the bathtub. That's where my silent place was. And I was just crying. And I was like, God, why? I don't want to put up with this anymore. I've got to leave. And I heard him distinctly say, you're not leaving. And I'm like, why? And because you know this isn't the man he wants to be.
Yeah.
You know this is not who he wants to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I do know that, but he ain't. What am I supposed to do? Am I just supposed to suffer? Like, I literally said that to God. Like, so I'm just supposed to suffer because I chose, because we have marriage vows. I'm just supposed to suffer. And he said, no, you're supposed to pray.
And
oh, okay.
It's hard to pray sometimes because we feel ownership. And when we pray, we want to see action and we want to make that action happen, right? Yeah. I'm praying for you here. Let me fix you. And we have to go. Prayer is giving it to God.
Right. I think the main thing that I learned through this experience is that it's not my job to be my spouse's Holy Spirit.
Oh, most important advice I ever heard in my life. My mom told that to me. The first time that I considered splitting up with Richard, and when we got together, we had a lot of bad habits and baggage. And when I was taking a walk and crying, and I thought, well, it's time, we're done. And we were only 3 years in at that point. And I was like, yep, this is what I've been waiting for. I knew it was not gonna last, whatever. And I felt like God, I didn't hear his voice, but I just felt like he said, you're not done. And I don't think at that point it had anything to do with Richard. I think it had to do with me. And I knew, I felt like I wasn't done. And did I want this behavior to continue that he was doing at the time? No, absolutely not. And did it? Yep, sure did. We went through it until one day I knew it was time. And that was the first time we split up. But that first time I knew there was something I had to learn. There was something I needed, a way that I needed to grow here. And I did. I have actually, Richard has facilitated some of the most important growth in my life, simply by being as stubborn as he is sometimes, but also by loving me the way he does, the acceptance and peace and some of the other things that he's taught me that are, part of his beautiful personality that weren't part of mine. But it's funny that that first time was, I had that, similar experience where I was like, Lord, are we finished here? And God was like, no. And so we can know if we're willing to hear it. It does help though to understand codependence and to understand some of the control issues, some of the things that we naturally might have to deal with. So don't if you're making a decision about whether or not to stay in a relationship, don't just say, oh, I gotta go because I can't take this, or oh, God wants me to stay, so I'm just gonna sit here and be miserable. Get out there and let God heal you. Let God show you what wise boundary setting is like. Let God show you what relationship skills you might need to learn. There are some times where I learned just last year, actually, that there are times where we get the cut off when we're feeling really intense about something, they go cold simply because we're flooding them with emotion and their little fight or flight is going off and they just kind of freeze up and can't think, right? So there may be things that you just need to learn yourself and take the opportunity. If you're sticking around anyway, you may as well learn some skills, right?
And there is always opportunity for growth. Like for me, learning how to set strong boundaries, which is something I never had because I was raised in an abusive home, so I didn't know what boundaries were. So learning how to draw strong boundaries was really good for me. Learning how to love unconditionally was something that was new. There were so many things that I grew, but I think the one prayer that I would pray is, God, reveal the truth to me.
Ooh, yeah.
Show me what he's really like.
Help us to see each other through your eyes, Lord. Yeah. That's very important. And sometimes we can actually discern that there's a spiritual influence or a history, a childhood trauma, that kind of thing that may need to be addressed. We aren't there to diagnose them, but it helps us to understand them.
And I've had clients that would be praying, Lord, reveal the truth to me. And the opposite of what I was shown to them. Like,
Really?
an affair came out,
Ooh.
lying and, things of that nature. And, they felt like that God was telling them that this was their sign that they were in a bad marriage, that it was not going to be reconciled.
Yeah.
And I'm
And
not,
that does
I
happen.
can't question that, that if they feel like that that's what God showed to them, then that's what God showed to them.
Right.
Some people would argue, I know, that would put their Christian hats on and go, God is never okay with divorce. I don't
Divorce is
believe he wants you
awful.
to
It
be, I don't
stinks.
believe he wants you to believe to be miserable every day of your life.
No.
I don't
No.
believe that.
And he can do miracles, but we follow him day by day, right? And we give him the chance to do whatever it is, whether it's surviving singleness or enjoying our marriage. Yeah.
Right.
Um,
And it is
go
about
ahead.
obedience. It's about just surrendering it to God and saying, Lord, I give you over my marriage. Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Show me what to do. And he usually does. For me, he usually gives me a scripture or a book to read, or something will pop up on one of my social medias or something of that nature. And I'll ask, God, is this what you're showing me?
Yeah. And make sure whatever you think God is showing you lines up with scripture. I've heard some people think that some things that were just downright sin, were okay with God. So we want to be careful there.
Yeah.
But Kelly, thank you so much. Thank you so much. People can reach you and actually get counseling if they need it at, oh, I had it in front of me, and where'd it go? There it is. Nope. Where'd it go? Kelly, I'm embarrassed to say it. But what is your website, please?
It's www.discoveringhopecounseling.org. And
That's what I always forget.
that's
Okay, so discoveringhopecounseling.org.
yeah, you have to put the www on it to go to the website.
Okay.
From there you can set up your own appointment. I also have a business line at 918-928-2910. And you can text me or call.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. You are such a blessing, and I look forward to us talking again. If you
Yes.
need prayer for anything, please reach out. We're here to pray for you, and we know that God wants to give you good. God bless you.
God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and join me for 2-minute daily devotionals Monday through Friday at onemomentwiser.com. That's the digit one, momentwiser.com, or on social media at onemomentwiser. If you have a story you'd like to share, I would love to hear it. Just use the contact page at onemomentwiser.com. God bless you.